Another episode of Dr. O After Dark. Thank you so much for joining me, and I am so excited to be here for a new episode. Yeah, we'll say a young adult-ish episode. You know, as y'all may know, Dr. O, we good for our vibrations, but we're here with Miss Divine Aqua, who's 19. Hello. So she's a little bit younger than the wine. So we got, you know, so y'all don't be tripping. I am not giving out. We sipping on, we got the apple juice going on.
Yep. Some good old apple juice.
Tonight. So, Miss Aqua, Divine Aqua, tell everybody who you are and everything in regards to the spiritual, the metaphysics. Am I saying that correctly?
Yep, metaphysics, metaphysical.
Metaphysical and all that. You see her with the all thing, of. Can y'all shout out and just, you know, shout out the corset and that snatch, the waist? I mean,
yes, thank you.
I'm just saying, to be 19 again. All right. So tell everybody about you and who you are and what you do.
Well, I am, honestly, I'm just a spirit. I'm a spirit that's come down to this vessel with the intentions of sharing creativity, hopefully inspiring others to be creative, whatever you do, drawing, making stuff, singing, dancing, whatever you do. I just want to be that light for others. So that's what my business is all about, metaphysics. It's about the energy.
Okay, so how are you that light now? Do you have an artistic energy that you're able to promote and invest into others? So how are you that light?
So most times I show people being creative by, I just make a lot of jewelry. I also make clothes. I do all types of creative things, painting, drawing, stitching. I do it all, and I make all types of content videos showing people how to do these things, just trying to get you to be your most creative self.
So how did you get into this? Because, you know, I would say I know as myself, as an African-American female, and we can go through the whole slavery epigenetics, through the whole history of our ancestors and how Christianity was brought to us and other religions and X, Y, and Z. And I know that I grew up as Christian, but I know that more and more people that I am meeting are stepping away kind of from that traditional, or what people may say, that white Jesus, you know, and, you know, whitewashed, westernized theology of religion, and stepping into a more spiritual realm where we're connecting with our ancestors, the chakras and the energy. And, you know, when we think about even, you know, the traditional religions and spiritual, you know, gets brought from our culture, right, you know, from our root, it was very much so in just that, you know, we've been called witches and witchcraft and Wicca and all these different things because we believe in the earth and the root and the herbs. How do you, I guess maybe in our world today, maybe navigate, yes, and balance through that?
Like balance, like being spiritual, doing what I do, it's still like being a part of society without, you know, turning heads or like, you know.
And do you define yourself as a witch?
I can be, you know, I just find myself as many things, just as a witch. You know, I can be an angel sometimes, a demon sometimes. You know, we all got so many aspects of ourselves, so I go by many names.
I find that very interesting. So can you, maybe for our audience and things, explain that? Because what I learned is, you know, so on with me, I grew up as, you know, a Christian. And right, for me, it was like, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, then you're going to hell.
You know, I honestly grew up like that as well. I grew up as a Christian. My grandmother was a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. I grew up in the church. I grew up going to Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday. You're going to be in church.
Night,
You gonna be in church.
Of God, yes. And crying.
You gonna get up in the morning. You gonna go to church, and you best not fall asleep in there. not fall asleep in church.
And the communion crackers, you better not be eating them because you've been hungry because you've been fasting all day.
You better not. You better wait.
Starving. What is to a kid fasting if we don't get the concept? That's just starving. That's depleting us of our fried chicken. Y'all want us to go on liquid fasts and everything else? But I ask that because, you know, so growing, I remember a pivotal moment for me was I had a friend. You know, quote unquote friend. And he was Muslim.
Right.
And we went to school together and had the biggest crush on him. He had the biggest crush on me. But because of our families, my family being Christian, his family is being
Muslim. It's like Romeo and Juliet in real life.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I wouldn't go that far.
Because we were like, yeah, it was just, you know, he was cute. That's all I don't know nothing else about him except that he was cute. I don't even remember his name to this day, to be honest. But I remember I used to see him because they used to sell on a corner by where our church was. They used to sell bean pies and the newsletters that, you know, they used to sell and things like that. And I never forget my mom and my family had told me I cannot be friends with him because he was Muslim. And because he was Muslim, he did not believe in God or our God and Jesus Christ as his one and personal Savior. So therefore, he was going to hell. And for many, many, many years, that was a concept and a perpetuation and things. If you're not Christian, you're not raised in, you know, this or what have you, then you're going to hell. So for me, that was my foundation and I had faith, I was in church and da, da, da. And then when my mother passed away, who had been in church, she was a missionary and everything like that. We all had faith that she was going to make it through her illness, but God, you took her away. It didn't make sense to me. And so that began to have me question my faith and things. And I began to then go on my own spiritual journey where I began to explore world religions to be able to define it for me. Because previously, I was so much I didn't have a direct relationship with God or the Creator. It was through my mom. Something happened, I'll be like, Mom, can you pray for me? Mom, can you give me the scripture? Mom. But now that Mom is not here, I'm forced to have that relationship myself. And things are not equating. So I studied, I went to, you know, theology school. I'm a licensed minister as a result of that. That wasn't sufficient for me. I studied Islam, Judaism, you know, Wicca, paganism, Urdu, Hinduism, Buddhism, you name it, in that I had studied it all to try to define and find out about my Creator. Right. What I learned was that I'm more a monotheistic God, but what I also learned in regards to what we conceptualize as Wicca and Wiccan and witches and paganism is through our culture as being African American and descendants of Africa, and in Africa their medicine and their treatment is holistic from the earth, from roots, from herbs, from this and for that. And when the colonizers came to Africa and they seen that it was not how they worship and how they, you know, define religion and worshiping a white God, they then labeled it as
demonic
and paganism. But if we think, what is the closest way to God than what he's already created? And so I learned through that things that I taught that was taught that witches and and that's not even, I don't even like using that term because it has a negative connotation to those who are more or less herbalists. I'm not going for the traditional white American westernized psychotropic drug. I'm going to healing a natural way with herbs and from the earth. But oh, if I do that.
You look down upon.
I'm a witch.
Yeah.
I'm going to hell.
And then even if not, even if some people view it in a scientific manner, they don't see it as good as pharmaceuticals because, you know, you got it from the earth and that's not FDA approved, that's not disapproved, that's not that. It's a whole lot of negative connotation no matter which way you're kind of looking at it. They like to demonize it.
And with FDA approval, it's again, who is the FDA?
That's what I said, like, who are these people? Who decides
Western
what and what
goes? Eye, heterosexual, cis, white, predominantly male. That's the FDA.
That's a lot of big corporations.
Yeah. And if you're not fitting in that, then it's not going to get approved. But that's like so much other things. When we're thinking and trying to get validation, this is how we do things in the Black community or in this community of color. Unless we get the validation of a lot of times of white America, then it's not accepted. White America start wanting to have cornrows and now everybody good with the braids and everybody good with all these other things. So tell us a little bit about how you manifest through those things. And I'm also so very interested in what is, so that's not even a crystal. That
oh, this one
is,
right here?
Yes. That
oh,
is,
this is a spell jar necklace.
Yeah, a spell jar.
Hopefully you guys can see. It's a spell jar necklace. It's a protection necklace.
Okay. So we're putting, that's for protection. That's not, we're not putting roots.
No, we don't do that.
So what happened? Oh, you don't do that?
I have to.
Oh, okay.
But not,
okay.
Not really.
Oh, so if you have to. So what happened was...
But I absolutely have to.
I do have some people. I got a whole list of people that, you know. So in South Africa, it's called Muti. And so when we're, you know, working with a spiritualist or herbalist, what is called an Nsingoma, you can get good Muti or bad Muti. The bad Muti is you the revenge. So... tell us. I got a couple of people on my list. Now, all y'all might be thinking like, oh yeah, I got my list. But there's a reason why I have restrained from doing the things that calling on the ancestors and blessing them, because my ancestors are powerful. You don't want to mess with me. I'm just telling you, better watch out. But I don't want the negativity brought back on me. So yep. With your spell jar and bringing in the positivity, what is a negative aspect if you were to put, as they say, a root
on somebody? Well, honestly, it just depends on your intentions behind it. You know, I view things as nothing as good as nothing as bad. It's always, what are the intentions behind the action? So you're putting roots on someone, or you're finna hex someone, or a lot of these things, you're finna do something to someone. What has that person done unto you? And is the what you're finna do bad deserved? Do you feel morally right in your moral? Because then again, everybody's morals is different. And your spiritual system is not like anyone else's, because morals are made by humans. So what is right to you? And if it's not right to you, then don't do it, because you're gonna put yourself in hell. But if it's right to you, my intention behind this is just, and my revenge is just because do unto those that you do unto yourself. And if you're ready for the karma to come back unto you, because it is gonna come back, even if it is for revenge, even if those are your intentions, you're always gonna get what you put out.
Well,
so
baby,
you gotta be ready to receive it back.
Well, baby, I'm good then, because I'm a Libra. And what was the Libras believe in? Is that balance. So we know we gonna
balance,
dish it out.
Everything.
We can get it back.
Mm-hmm.
But we vindictive as hell. F with me, I mean, come on. Me is a must. You die, I'm sorry. Bringing it back to the 9998, come on. So it's a slip. I mean, I tell you, that's how we do. So we'll put that root on you. We'll put that, you know, red dust right about doorway, don't eat our spaghetti, the whatever, you know what I'm saying? I got the whole, I'm from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, baby. I'm hoodoo through and through. But but because I put that root on you, and I ain't afraid of it coming back to me because you deserved it. If it takes me to that point.
That's what I say. If it's to the point, then it's to that point.
It's to that point.
If I'm doing it, then I'm not going to regret it because what you did has brought this action.
And my thing, I can show you better than I can tell you. Do you not know I am Dr. O? Do you not understand this? I can show you, baby, than I can tell you. Don't play. Where are my hoodoo cards at? Oh, all up over there. So y'all want to get a reading? Y'all want to connect with your ancestors? Look at here, Miss Divine Aqua. Now we not doing it, she not gonna do no negative root. She gonna bring love and prosperity.
Like, I ain't doing all that. You gotta do that yourself. I'll teach you how to do it. I ain't doing it for you. You gotta do that yourself.
She won't, but I will.
She will.
I will, because believe me, you need therapy, you need Jesus, and you need your ancestors.
You need it all.
That's what I'm saying, just because. My favorite friend, my best friend is Karma, and I will tell you, now she...
Don't forget, never will.
Karma, my girlfriend, I don't use the B word, but Karma, that girl, she is a bad... You try me if you want to. So, I also love this, looks like it's rose quartz. Around his tiny waist and corset. If I was having a corset, I would be busting all out. I would be looking like a can of biscuits to be 19 again. So rose quartz.
Yes, rose quartz, clear quartz. You got some smoky quartz on here. I just got, it's a quartz belt.
Okay, so tell us a little. So I know rose quartz, it brings like love and things.
Yeah, it's good for your heart chakra. It's good for self-love, loving others. It's also good for healing emotional traumas if you suffer through things emotionally in your life. Rose quartz is a good stone for that. Like, it's good for helping you with that thing.
And what about like sexual trauma and
sexual
things of that nature?
You know, I would use rose quartz for that too. Like, I have used rose quartz for stuff like that because I myself have been through similar traumas.
Okay.
So, yeah, rose quartz can help for that. But also, you know, your mindset helps with that. More than anything, more than any tool, more than anything, your mind above all else.
So can you share a little bit about your history and things that you have been through and how you've overcome your challenges and things like that, through your own spiritual journey?
That's actually kind of what pushed me on to my spiritual journey, my own traumas and kind of going through it, because like I said, I was raised as a Christian. Mm-hmm. That was what I was growing into, what I was indoctrinated as.
Mm-hmm.
But as a child and as a Christian, when you read these things and you read all these books, and then like bad things happen to you, things you can't control because you're a kid, you just kind of start questioning stuff. You just kind of like, this guy, you're supposed to protect your children, you're supposed to be doing these things and stuff like that. Then why is this happening to me? Mm-hmm. Why would things like this happen? If you're supposed to protect me, I'm a child of God and stuff. I pray, I go to church, I read the Bible. This should not happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of went on a spiral. I didn't know what to believe. And stuff, so I would question the church a lot and stuff, and that didn't really like happen good, you know, questioning the church, because they'll be all like, you just need to believe, you just need to have faith.
I'm like so sick of
need
that.
To have faith, man.
I tell you, so my mother, she was an evangelist, a missionary of this or that. She had, you know, cancer, but was in remission for years. I remember when she, you know, called me and said that, hey, the cancer, or she didn't even say it was cancer, had returned, that they had found something on her brain, but it's da-da-da, it's small, it's not this, it's a routine. And I knew she had to go in and get surgery on it, but she downplayed it so much. But me being a Christian and knowing her relationship with God, I'm like, oh no, God got us. We good. I'm praying every day. I'm fasting.
Doing everything the good Christian is supposed to do.
Everything. Faith without works is dead. I had faith for my mother's healing, and I was doing the work by praying, fasting, going to church. So what I thought, and I'll never forget, and all of that, the day before I had went and I had heard, like it was a Wednesday night, it was Bible study, and there we had a special guest, and he was a Jewish speaker, and he talked about the Torah and healing, and he had this special like rope I had for healing. Bought all that for my mom, and I mailed it off to her. Very next day, I got a call from my sister, who was up there with my mom. Said, "Mom died." Don't play like that. That's not, don't play like that. That's not something to play with. You know, why you joke? She's like, I'm not joking. I'm not playing. And the very next day, the gift that I had sent, it returned back packaged and opened, and it just said to see. So I really questioned God, like, I did what you were supposed, what I was supposed to do. I've been in church, been in Bible study, I've been praying, I've been starving myself and fasting. All my friends, I'm in the military, I'm like 19 years old. I'm in the military, just out on my own. They out clubbing, they out dropping it like it's hot, because it's a 9-8 and a 9-9 with juvenile. They going to freaking, and I'm just like, God. My Sunday, I may have went to the Foxtrot and the club on Friday and Saturday, but believe me, I was in church on Sundays and Wednesdays to have that faith. And God still took my mom. And so that really caused me to go down this spiral and really question faith, God, my relationship, and so on and so forth. And I will be honest, in some many ways, it turned me against God, because I'm like, nah, you said this, and then it didn't happen.
Right.
So how can I trust and I believe in this? And it took me a long time to really develop and build up. And I'm 100% honest. I say every therapist needs a therapist. So I have my own mental health struggles as well. And when I do, and I'm at my lowest of my low, I struggle too with, how would God create me to deal with these things? And it's hard and it's challenging. So how do, again, you, 19 years old, how old were you when you had your sexual trauma that you experienced?
Way young. way younger than I should have been.
Okay.
I would say my first. Younger than six. I'm gonna say younger than six.
Wow. How long did it last?
Well, it was kind of different, because, you know, it wasn't always the same experience, you know. Okay. Not always the same person, different experience, different years, different times.
Mm-hmm.
But for the first time I can remember, because, you know, when you go as a child, you may put up amnesia blocks, you may put up things, yeah. And you have to recover those memories as you're older, mm-hmm. when you're more able to handle those memories. Mm-hmm.
And we call that more, and I was just having this conversation with someone last night, we call that dissociative amnesia,
yes.
where we have blocked out certain yep. parts of our life because it's been too hard and too traumatic, and we just don't remember.
So as I started my healing process, I would get flashes of my memories, but the youngest I can remember was about six. I can't remember all of them, but I'm still on my healing process. I'm still on trying to uncover my amnesia blocks, look at for what it is, and just keep on healing and stuff.
Okay. So let me ask you, because I know in communities of color, there is such a huge stigmatization about mental health care. It's not a lot, and it's not affordable. Maybe we don't have the adequate insurance to cover it, or if we do, it's high deductibles, high this and high that. And if we were to, you know, for those who will say, oh no, they have community health care clinics, they have, you know, Obamacare and all these things to be able to make mental health care affordable. But when we go into a lot of these places that are considered as affordable, free clinic, mental health clinics, it's high turnover. A lot of things is with yourself that we deal with is very traumatic. And if it's high turnover, then I'm with a therapist for maybe a couple of weeks, and I gotta relive and retell this story all over again and kind of keep up and keep on going. How do you, as a, since you have a, have you been to therapy? That's the one question.
I have before.
But alternatively, your alternative healing. So you have before, so tell us about your journey in that.
This is actually, yeah, the therapy and everything, this is when it started to get more spiritual.
Okay.
I think this was about ninth grade. Yeah, ninth, 10th grade in that area.
Uh-huh.
I was just kept going through it because all these years, I still hold it in. Like growing up in the childhood, I still hold all those traumas in. Through okay. middle school, through high school, I didn't really like to talk about those things, not to anyone, not to friends, not to family, not to myself. I just wanted to bury it.
To your parents?
Bury it deep eventually. But when I first let know, I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to live it. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to see it. Mm. So it's just denial. Mm. Denial of the experience and denial of your traumas, which makes it ultimately worse. You deny your traumas and it builds up inside you. So I won't recommend that. Go through trauma, just face it, don't deny it. But yeah, in ninth grade, I just, it was like too much, too many years of holding it in, too much. And I exploded. I just exploded. I just went down a very big spiral, like a very huge spiral. And I had to be admitted. And so I'm in the hospital, I had to be admitted.
Okay.
And that just gave me a whole other experience. It was like nothing I ever experienced before.
And it's even not like movies, the stigmatization like around having to be admitted. We admitted. What matters to you? Crazy.
People call you crazy. Even in the mental hospital where they're supposed to help you, they're literally calling you crazy. They're not helping you in there. I did not receive help in that place. It was like a prison. They tell you where to go. They tell you where to sit. They tell you what to eat. They tell you what to wear. They tell you when to shower. They tell you when to use it. They tell you when to take your medicine.
And I hear that so much that is there supposed
it's
to help
crazy,
you.
Man.
And all we do is maybe we have group therapy and meet it with a one-on-one person. Group therapy, I'm sitting there with a lot of other people going through the same issues, and we're basically trauma bonding because I'm telling you about my experience. I'm like, oh, I relate to that. But where is...
But we're not solving it.
Yeah.
We're just talking about it and stuff. And not even really talking about it in a healthy way, because they don't really set up a healthy environment to talk about it in the thing. You're in a group setting where everyone has experienced different traumas and they're supposed to help, but it really doesn't help because people are hearing about traumas they have never experienced before and they're judging it because they haven't experienced before. And it's just like, it's unsanctioned.
So how did you heal from that? Because I know, especially, and you're 19 years old, suicide is very huge and large, especially in the young adult community. Yep. How can everybody find you, especially as young people who may want to reach out to you, who's afraid to maybe come to therapy or what have you?
Well, you guys can find me on all social media platforms at Divine Aqua. You guys can also email me at divineaqua369@gmail.com. I am always available, all times.
Divine Aqua on all platforms and divineaqua369.com. You all make sure you check out Divine Aqua for all of your spiritual needs, to have somebody to resonate with, and then come over and make sure you like, subscribe, and reach out to us here at Out of the Box Counseling, Coaching, and Consulting. And find me, Dr. Olivia West, at drolivia.com. Until next time.